Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. We're so glad to have you with us here this evening on Ask Herbal Health Expert Susan Weed, a two-hour radio show each Tuesday night. Herbal medicine is people's medicine, simple, safe, effective. Please bring your curiosity and health questions. Susan will enlighten, surprise, and delight you. I know most of you know Susan Weed already. She's my mom, so I know her. But for those of you who have not yet met Susan, I'd like to share she is the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, five wonderful books on women's health and herbal medicine, including Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer Breast Health Exclamation Point, The Wise Woman Way, Healing Wise, The Wise Woman Herbal, New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, and Susan's latest book, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way. In addition to being the editor at Ash Tree Publishing and writing her books, Susan is the director of the Wise Woman Center in Woodstock, New York. The Wise Woman Center is open to the public on appointment-only basis. She offers weekend workshops, intensives, and apprenticeships throughout the season. Susan is also available to you online via wisewomanmentor.com. There you can go and view her weekly e-zine. You can subscribe to receive a notification via email each week, or you could join her mentorship program. Susan also offers distance learning correspondence courses and online courses at the Wise Woman University. But you can also just go to her website, susanweed.com, where you will find thousands of pages online with recipes, articles, art features, and so much more. Well, for now, let's see what Susan has to share with us this evening. Thank you, and welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much, Justine. It's always a delight. And I think the word of the week is forsythia, that beautiful yellow shrub that is blooming everywhere around us. I always say Woodstock loves forsythia, and we are just so getting into the forsythia this year. I told the apprentices that we could eat the flowers of the forsythia, and they have taken me at my word, and I'm looking at a salad right now in front of me, just the most beautiful salad with beautiful yellow forsythia blossoms in it. As a matter of fact, you can see a picture of one of the salads that class made this weekend. We did spring tonics and hands-on spring medicines, made all kinds of things, including wild salads on both days. And if you go to my Facebook page, you'll be able to see those salads. You making some wild salads, Rebecca?
I have been making some wild salads.
Is your forsythia blooming, or is it past?
I think it's past here. I haven't seen any out where it does bloom for quite a while here, but I haven't, none on the where I'm living right now.
Yeah, it has a long bloom period. And we made some forsythia butter as well. We mixed the forsythia blossoms in with butter. And you can't see me doing that, but my daughter did, Justine did make a YouTube of her daughter, Monica Jean, my granddaughter, and I'm making some wild chive butter. And you do same technique if you want to do forsythia, or you could use dandelion flowers. Are your dandelions blooming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
A lot of them are going to seed already, though. Like, I don't see as much yellow around.
Cooler areas
we've been having some really warm weather out here. It's like 80 degrees today, so.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
It was so cold here today. I went out for a walk with Corey, and we got, I don't know, like 20 steps away from the house. I said, I'm too cold. I'm going back and putting on my long johns.
Oh. Yeah, it's supposed to be 90 here tomorrow, so we're going to go. We live close to the coast, and we're going to go to the ocean tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that'll be.
Now, if you are saying cool. to yourself, goodness, Susan and Rebecca don't usually gab for such a long time, you might have already intuited or figured out that something is a little different about tonight. And it's not just that we're coming up on May Day. Hip, hip, hooray, the fairies come out to play on May Day. Get yourself ready for that. It's that, and we send her all of our good wishes. Our guest for this evening wasn't able to join us. Something came up in her life. So we're going to be answering questions from now right through to the end of the show at 9:30. Do we have anybody waiting for us on the telephone?
Yes, we have one person waiting, so I'll open up a line.
Okay.
In the 802 area code.
Good spring evening to you, Susan and Rebecca.
Good evening.
Thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Catherine, and I've called into the show before. And so I want to thank you for the opportunity to let all of your callers call in with multiple questions or follow-ups. And I'm calling tonight with a completely different issue from what I called about back in November. And so I'm excited about the forsythia butter. I just noticed mine tonight. I live in New England, and literally today they just started catching my attention. And I had grown up calling them forsythia, but that shouldn't matter. I think she'll still respond when I go have a look at her.
There are no pronunciation rules. However you want to do it is just fine.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, here's my question. I have a really difficult time being a passenger in a car because I experience really debilitating motion sickness, and it comes on, you know, maybe in waves. I mean, maybe it'll be a little bit more severe for 2 weeks and then kind of dissipate, and I don't really notice it. But it's starting to really affect my life. It puts me in a crabby mood. And, you know, it especially happens when I'm a passenger in a car. And my husband and I do drive around a lot. We have four children in four different schools, so we're on the road quite a bit. And I do take Dramamine when we're on long trips.
Does it affect you when you're driving?
Just recently it has affected me when I'm driving, which is what prompted me to call you.
Mm-hmm. And you do use scopolamine patch, and that helps.
Pardon me?
Did you say you were using a scopolamine patch, and did you say it was helping?
No. No, I said what helps is Dramamine pills, just the regular old, you know, pharmaceutical over-the-counter pill.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it really does help. What else could I tell you? I'm in my 40s, my mid-40s, and I first started noticing, maybe little bits of you know, difficulty.
I want to go back to the thing that helped. I want to go back to the thing that helped. So the thing that helps is a drug, and what does the drug do?
Well, you know, I don't know. I have a guess of what the drug does, and my guess would be is that it numbs my stomach, because sometimes when I take the pill, it gets stuck in my throat, and all of a sudden I can't feel anything, and I feel like it blocks a receptor to my brain that disables some sort of confusing signal.
Interesting.
That's what I think.
So far as I know, there aren't nerve endings in the esophagus.
Okay.
So they're pressure sensors. We can feel pressure, but we can't actually feel, so far as I know, any pain. So this drug starts with a D. D-R-A, Dramamine, is that what you're saying?
Correct. It is readily available in any big chain pharmacy, and there are, you know, no-name knockoffs. Wait, I have a tube in my purse, and I can tell you what the chemical is. Oh, boy.
Dimehydrinate. A trademark for an antihistamine.
Is that right?
Used to prevent nausea and motion sickness.
Correct. Nausea, vomiting.
So an antihistamine counters the production of histamines. Histamines are a very important part of the immune system.
Mm.
And when we encounter something that seems, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say wrong. When we encounter something that seems wrong to us, like we're stung by a bee, we're bitten by a snake, we're crushed by an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
This seems wrong to us. And our immune system responds by creating histamine. Histamine causes tissue swelling.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about what the consequences of being bitten by a snake or stung by a bee, right, or crushed would be,
mm-hmm.
would be that there would be swelling. And
right.
that swelling is caused by the release of histamines in the body. And histamines, of course, then that swelling stops the wrong thing from moving around.
Moving
right,
around?
So from moving around. So if you've been bitten by the snake and the body says, that's wrong, we're going to make histamines, and it sends the histamines to the area, and the histamines cause swelling, then the venom can't go anywhere.
Okay.
Or if you're stung by a bee and your body says, that's wrong, and it releases histamines, and the histamines cause that to swell up, right? The bee sting swells up, and that
mm-hmm.
holds the venom from the bee right there. So your
mm.
body can send macrophages and other and red blood cells, because then it gets red, to take care of it, rather
yeah,
than having
right.
it scatter all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like safety glass in a car, right?
Right.
When the
right,
safety
right.
glass, it doesn't scatter, it stays together. And so histamine is like that safety glass for the body.
Okay.
However, certain things can happen with the release of histamine. In some people, the histamine just keeps getting released and released and released and released, and then they stop breathing.
Hmm. That's never
So
happened.
That's not good, because it swells up their lungs, right? And then they can't breathe, so that's not good at
oh,
all.
Sure.
And in some people, like yourself, right. when histamines are released, it messes with your inner ear.
Mm-hmm.
And your inner ear says, help, help, we're falling. And you get nauseated.
Okay. Yeah. Now,
so we could ask ourselves if there are herbal antihistamines, but even underneath that, we could ask ourselves what is going on when you're in a car that your body is going wrong, 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 wrong.
Right? Right. I mean, my husband does drive like a maniac, but that's not, I don't think that's quite it. Because like I said, it happens when I'm driving, and it's even happening at the gym. I mean, I find I have to turn my head with care so I don't feel like I'm throwing myself off balance. It's it's debilitating. And if I may add, one release, if I don't take the Dramamine, which I try not to, but sometimes I must, but if I don't, if I burp, that releases a good amount of discomfort.
Well, I know that many herbalists really favor ginger.
Yes.
As an anti-nauseant. Have you worked with that at all?
I guess I have not enough. Not enough. How would one work with ginger?
Juliette de Berkeley-Levy always used to travel with a bag of what's called crystallized ginger.
Oh, sure.
Have you ever had that?
I have. I've seen it in the health food store, and it's sugar-coated, right?
It's sugar-coated.
Sure.
And they're also in the health food stores. They're like ginger chews or ginger lozenges.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I do like those. Oh, tough on the teeth, right? Because it'll stick to your teeth and possibly, you know, get bacteria.
It's, you know, tougher on the teeth than fruits and vegetables.
Okay. Okay.
So you could have those handy. And at the first sense that you're starting to feel that way, you could, one, or you could just make a regime for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you want to have, like, ginger tea in the morning and then some candied ginger along the way and then some ginger and some rice at night. There's probably not an overdose.
Right.
One of the things that ginger does is it's somewhat of an anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to assume here that there's some inflammation somewhere in your body and probably in your head.
Hmm. I guess there is. I feel like I inflame fairly easily, you know, at night, after dinner, sort of my stomach kind of goes, maybe it's just how I am.
So you might also want to ask yourself, what's inflaming me? Are there things in my life that are inflaming me? Are there foods in my life that are inflaming me? Right.
Okay.
Right. Things like hot peppers. You might want to not eat any black pepper, any hot pepper.
Oh, I love hot pepper. Okay, I guess I could try.
How did I know?
I don't know how you knew. I ate a lot of pepper.
What's going on with you?
Pardon? What's going on?
By what's going on, I could tell that you probably were overdoing it with peppers.
I put it in my bone broth all winter. It was so nice. Just kind of, I mean, we
not
had a really cold winter.
Bone broth is wonderful. Pepper is not. Pepper is an irritant. It causes inflammation. And it's been making your vertigo worse and worse. Your emotions.
You're right.
Worse
I
and
used
worse.
It yesterday. I used it yesterday. I put it in the chicken yesterday, and today I drove and I was nauseated, and I thought, that's it. This is getting to really, you know, it's Tuesday, I'm going to call into Blog Talk. Funny.
Okay, so cut it out with the pepper. Become friends
right.
with ginger. And keep drinking your nourishing herbal infusions, especially oat straw.
Especially oat straw. Funny. Oat straw had sort of taken a little back seat in our lives lately. It's funny you say that. Okay? Yes. Very good.
All right. Green blessings.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's move on to the next caller.
All righty.
In the 814 area code?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What's up with you?
Well, I have been diagnosed bipolar for about 20 years and tried to work with acupuncture and, you know, natural stuff for a while. But for the last 10 years, I've been on the heavier lithium, clonopin kind of stuff, and I really feel like my spirit and everything is just sort of like there's a cap on me. And I wondered if you work at all with a safe way to get people off of pharmaceuticals for that and into herbals.
Well, let's start here. Herbs don't take the place of drugs. Herbs aren't kinder, milder, nicer drugs with a green coat on.
Mm-hmm.
They're really very, very different than drugs. But let's ask ourselves about the drugs you're taking. You said you're taking lithium.
Yes.
What is lithium?
The salt.
That's right. And there are, I've been to Lithia Springs.
Mm-hmm.
There are places all over the world where lithium-rich waters come out of the earth.
Right.
So, my understanding is the difference between drinking lithium-rich water and taking a pill of lithium is when you take a pill of it, you get the same dose all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that if you drink it, the dose can vary. So, without asking you questions that you may not wish to answer, I'm just going to talk in general, because we know that bipolar used to be called manic depressive.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those states can be dangerous. The depressive state can be dangerous for you if you feel like it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
And the manic state can be dangerous for others who can be attacked during that manic state. At quite a few years.
I mean, I've never been violent.
Have to know yourself.
I've more the state on my own.
Yeah. Quite a few years ago, I had a student who came to a conference where I was teaching and decided in celebration she was not going to take her medications. And mm-hmm. she wound up going to the communal altar late at night and destroying everything on it.
Hmm.
And she would never have characterized herself as a violent woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I simply know that when one is in the throes of the depth of the depression or the height of the mania, that things can happen. And things can happen to ordinary people who aren't diagnosed as bipolar and when they're in the depth of feeling bad or in the height of craziness. It just seems to happen more often to people who have a diagnosis. Now, I have friends who are bipolar, who don't take drugs, but I will say this, they are independently wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So if they feel like laying in bed and watching TV for 2 weeks running, mm-hmm. they can pay to have meals delivered to them, to have somebody come in and clean and to be taken care of, and they don't have to work.
Right.
But not everyone's in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're artists, and when they're in the manic phase, they get a huge amount of artwork done.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, in a way, it's a bit of a lifestyle choice, isn't it? They've chosen not to take anything to control their bipolar disorder, but they live in a way, kind of outside the social norms,
mm-hmm.
not having regular partners, not having a regular job, and so on. And it works for them as artists, but I wouldn't necessarily say that it would work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we have the pharmaceutical drugs. For people who need them because they need or want to function more within society.
I'd rather be.
Are you drinking nourishing herbal infusions at this time?
Am I what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Mm-hmm. I asked if you were drinking nourishing herbal infusions.
No, not currently.
Mm-hmm. So to me, that's step one.
Mm-hmm.
Is to start nourishing yourself. And what I find, and it may or may not be true for you, is that when we provide ourselves with not just adequate nourishment, but optimum nourishment, which is what we get from the nourishing herbal infusions, that it's not unusual for problems that we've had to become not problems anymore.
Any recommendations for what kind of
to make a nourishing herbal infusion? you take 1 ounce of an herb such as oat straw, which is a wonderful herb to strengthen the nervous system.
Okay.
Put it in a quart jar. Fill the jar to the top with boiling water. Put a lid on it. Put a lid on it. Let it steep a minimum of 4 hours or overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Strain the liquid off, which is what you keep. Squeeze the herb to get all the liquid out of it. Throw the herb out on the earth. Refrigerate the liquid and drink it throughout the day.
Okay.
I had many, many years ago a student who was working the night shift on the mental ward at the large hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she was giving people drugs like Thorazine. And she did not like that. She did not like that at all. And she started making oat straw infusion and giving them the oat straw infusion. Not to take the place of the Thorazine, but to nourish them. And she found that within a month, most of them, the doctor had recommended that their dose be reduced, some of them by half.
Hmm. Wow.
Because of the increase in the good functioning of the nervous system, so that the kind of ordinary day-to-day sway and change was not so extreme. And that's, of course, what we're talking about. Like, all people have good days and bad days. It's just that your good days are gooder and your bad days are badder. So you have a bigger, stronger swing. And the drugs do put a cap on you. They reduce or almost nullify that swing. And I think what you're saying, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that you'd like a little swing back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like my creativity is blocked and sluggish and my vitality, everything feels just kind of capped. Yeah. Okay.
I recommend that everyone have a list of people that they can call in emergencies right by the telephone. Medical emergency or an emotional emergency, those numbers should be there ahead of time. And especially for you, right?
Yeah.
There, you need to have a list right by the telephone so that if you need to reach out, you can reach out without making any further effort. It's important for all of us to have a strong support system, but it's especially important for people who have a diagnosis to have a good support system. So oat straw is a wonderful herb. Nettle is a great herb.
Okay.
It's one of the most ultimately nourishing herbs that I have ever worked with. And then you might also be quite interested in linden blossom. Now, the linden blossom is fluffier than the oat straw or the nettle, so only use half an ounce of linden. So it's 1 ounce of dried oat straw or 1 ounce of dried nettle or 1/2 ounce of dried linden. So those are three different infusions, and you can rotate through them.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I did an aromatherapy workshop where it was more personalized, where we found what really spoke to us. And is this the same linden flower? Is that the same as linden flower?
It is.
Or related to it? It is.
Linden flower, that was what it is.
That was one that that I used to make a more of a perfume, you know. So that's kind of interesting. And can I order these? Or
sure, there are many places who sell herbs. I don't.
Okay, you don't.
How could you believe a word I said if I sold herbs?
Oh, true. True. Very good point.
And I teach my students that, too. I say, if you want to go and give people advice about herbs, don't sell them anything. Don't sell them herbs, right?
Yeah.
I know it's frequently done, but I ask my students not to do it. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dream blessings. Good night.
All right, we have another caller on the line.
Okay.
the 401 area code.
Oh, I think that's me.
It's you.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Susan. Hello. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
I am well. I wanted to thank you, first of all. First-time caller. I'm a long-time listener and student, I guess. Just thank you for everything. I own a lot of your books, and I welcome your knowledge, and I love your ezine. I never knew how to say that. Ezine.
I think it's ezine. I think it's magazine, but with E instead of mega.
Okay, ezine. And I've enjoyed watching Monica Jean grow up on her videos. Just fun, wonderful work. And I love you. So anyway, but I do have a question.
Okay.
My husband, who my dear husband, 32 years married. He's a tremendous guy.
Are you asking me a question about you or about him?
About him.
No.
What? Oh, I'm not allowed?
I don't do secondhand consultations.
Oh. Okay.
If he can't speak or he can't hear or he's in some other way incapacitated, then I would do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, he works, he works two jobs. He works on the water during the day, and he works third shift, so he's asleep right now, and it was,
right now.
Okay, well, okay.
Did he
ask
you to do this?
Did
he ask you to do this?
Yeah, he did. He had a doctor's appointment today, and
I'm happy to talk to you if he asked you to do it. I just don't want you to be calling me to try to get him to do something he doesn't want to do.
Oh,
you understand?
No. I totally understand. No, he did, but he goes to sleep at 6:30. He works, doesn't get much sleep.
I'm happy to talk to you. Go ahead and tell me what's going on with him.
All right. Great. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
He had last year been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. It was something that was kind of apparent. It came out of the blue. He lost a lot of weight, very thirsty, all the classic signs. We did change his diet. He just really was eating a lot of, bad food. Nighttime snacking instead of a little ice cream. You'd have a big bowl, all of that bad stuff. Anyway, his sugar levels are down to actually below the national average. He's really doing well, sticking to a really good, healthy diet. Exercise was never a problem because he works on the water. He's very virile, healthy that way, but it's not really exercise, I guess, if you work. Today when he had his physical, they asked him, they told him, that the doctor told him that they wanted to put him on a blood pressure medication to protect his kidneys. And I thought, as soon as he did take the prescription, but he didn't fill it, and he came home and he was really upset, thinking, well, gee whiz, that's, not what I expected. And I thought, what can I do, to help? And he said, well, isn't there something you can make? I thought.
So let me ask you the question that I ask almost everyone. Are you drinking, is he drinking nourishing herbal infusions?
No, and he watches me drink them almost daily. He does not, to answer your question.
So that's why I prefer to talk to him, right? So
okay,
I could personally put the pressure on him.
Okay.
Okay, can you transmit that? Can you say, Susan said that you have to drink infusions?
I could do that.
What would help him? What we want to do is we want to make this pleasurable for people. So I like my infusion iced. It works out fine for me that it's refrigerated, and I just put it in a glass with some ice, and I'm happy. But I noticed that my sweetheart wasn't drinking very much infusion. And so first I tried giving him glasses of infusion, and he wouldn't drink them. And then I found that after he left it sitting around, he would drink it. And I asked him, and he said, he really doesn't like cold liquids. He likes kind of room temperature liquids. And so now if I want him to drink infusion, I just put some in a glass and put it on the counter.
just the opposite. I like mine room temperature, and we call him the Ice Man. He likes everything on ice, everything. And he doesn't drink any alcohol, but he's, you know, if he drinks water, whatever he drinks, there's ice in it. We call him the
there
Ice Man.
There you go. So
maybe
ice at his infusion. Give it to him over lots and lots of ice.
Well, I was thinking nettle. I drink a lot of nettle myself. I was thinking nettle and dandelion. I don't know if those would be two good ones. And
is,
the dandelion's not the
is
best.
Is his blood
tasting.
Pressure high?
No.
Or they just want to give him a blood pressure drug to supposedly protect his kidneys?
Yes. Doesn't that sound crazy?
Okay, so his blood pressure is fine. So
it's
I think
perfect.
That stinging nettle infusion would be perfect for him.
Okay.
And even if he's only drinking, you know, 4 to 6 cups of it a week.
Okay.
But I bet you can find ways to, you know, get him to drink more.
Will you stop reading my mind? Because that's exactly what I was thinking. You are. You're in there. Yes, I probably could do that.
Yeah. And
no,
I was just reading a long article about how stinging nettle counters type 2 diabetes.
Really? It's my favorite, too.
So it's really absolutely perfect for him. It will truly protect his kidneys, unlike the drug.
Mm. Yeah.
And it will help counter his type 2 diabetes. As his diet and his good exercise level is already doing.
Yeah.
Is he taking any drugs that are prescribed to him because of the diabetes?
Yes. He's on metformin, once a day pill. Low dose.
And he might want to consider going off that.
I know, yeah. I believe that he could. Even the doctor said he probably could, but they said this is something that's not going to go away. It could get worse. We don't want to take you off of it now. Pete, my husband is the kind of guy.
It will go away. It can go away. I have seen it go away. They are wrong. They will also tell women that if they have osteoporosis, it can never get better, and we completely reverse those kinds of losses.
Mm-hmm.
No problem reversing those losses. Unfortunately, what they say is only true about drugs. And it's not true when we actually nourish the body.
Right.
And allow the body to be in the perfection that it knows how to be.
Yeah. Well, I'm
but again, you see the difficulty, right? Because I can tell you that, and you can say yes, but so what if we agree? I need to be talking to him.
Well, how do I next week?
Don't
can
know.
I have him jump on?
I don't know, but what I'm saying is there's only so much that I can transmit through you, right?
That's correct.
And so this really is useful for everyone to hear and useful for us to talk about, but not as useful as if I were talking to him.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Because he was listening
to
you.
So I really appreciate your care for him, and I really appreciate his willingness to change his diet and improve his diet. And let's go that one step further and work with a nettle infusion.
Okay.
And, you know,
well, okay.
Set a goal for coming off the metformin.
That is a great goal.
Yeah, because what I see is that the metformin does do damage to the body, and that people go into stronger drugs. Mm. And it's certainly a worthwhile drug for people who aren't willing to change their diet. and people who aren't willing to drink nettle infusion and people who aren't really willing to exercise. But that's not the situation we're in.
Would nettle soup and nettle as a vegetable be almost, would that be helpful?
It would be helpful, but it wouldn't be almost as good, no.
No, it wouldn't.
Think about it. If you're drinking a quart of nettle infusion, you're consuming the same as 4 ounces of fresh nettle.
Yeah.
Or a quarter pound of nettle. It's an awful lot to actually eat.
It is. It is.
Whereas in the infusion, you get all the nutrition from the herb in a very easy-to-take way.
That's why I do it. Thank you.
Again,
and it has helped me.
Right, yes.
You know, on just one more thing, my menopausal symptoms, thank you, thank you, thank you. You have helped me so much just by drinking, I believe, my nourishing herbal infusions. I don't have nearly as many symptomatic problems that my one year and one day younger sister is experiencing because she won't do what I'm doing. So I appreciate that, and I thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Green blessings and good night.
Green blessings to you.
All right. Let's move on to an email question.
Okay. Let's see. I'm curious to see if this question, there seems to be a theme tonight, doesn't there? And that is drugs aren't bad.
Yeah,
but we
this
don't
one also asks about some drugs, too, so.
There you go.
Here we go. Hi there. I've just discovered your site, and I'm wondering if you could give me some advice. I had a kidney transplant 6 weeks ago. My new kidney was from a live donor and is doing really well, but my liver function is struggling under the weight of all the anti-rejection drugs and steroids I have to take. Also, I'm retaining fluid on my face and belly, and now the doctors are saying that my heart function is a bit dodgy. I eat organics, grow some of my own food, and am generally feeling well considering. Are there any particular herbs food that you could recommend to help me? Thank you.
Okay, well, let's go over our liver loving herbs. What's your favorite liver loving herb, Rebecca?
I love dandelion.
Eat dandelion! 'Tis the season to love dandelion, isn't it? Dandelion,
oh, yeah.
It's such a generous plant that any part of the dandelion, harvested any time, prepared in any way and taken in any dose, will help the liver. Now, doesn't that make it easy? The standard, of course, is a dandelion root tincture, but it doesn't have to be that if you don't like it. Dandelion root tincture taken before meals, usually anywhere from 10 drops to a drop or full. One of my favorite liver-loving herbs is milk thistle seed extract, and milk thistle seed extract is very hepatoprotective. It protects the liver against the damaging effects of other drugs. So that might be a real ally for you. Dandelion is considered to be warming. Chicory is considered to be cooling. And chicory is another one of, so far as I'm concerned, the big three in terms of liver-loving herbs of which we have very, very easy access. The word hawthorn immediately springs to mind when I hear the symptoms that you are experiencing. Hawthorn is one of the world's best heart tonics, and it is quite specific for people who are retaining fluid. So hawthorn helps to release that fluid, helps the heart to work better, and it could be that that fluid buildup is not just from the cortisone, but also from the heart. And raises the blood pressure if it's low, lowers the blood pressure if it's high, helps counter cholesterol. Hawthorn is just everything a heart could want, and it's basically like a little apple. It's absolutely and totally safe. If the doctor says to you, I don't know about you taking these herbs, you say, can I eat an apple? And if the answer is yes, then you can safely take hawthorn. Like dandelion, hawthorn is a very generous plant. Any part of it, the leaves, the flowers, or the haws, which are like little apples, as I said, can be used. My preference is tincture of the haws, the hawthorn berries, as they're often called. And I just really like the fruity taste of it. But I have a friend who says, oh, you know, she couldn't get through her week without her hawthorn leaf and flower infusion. She just feels that it is so wonderful. And she says it buoys up her heart. It gives her heart the ability to float through the choppy waters of life. Hawthorn does take a little while to come onto its full effectiveness. And so you might also want to consider and find out more about herbs like motherwort, Leonurus cardiaca, another wonderful heart tonic, but because we take it in a tincture, one that often works faster than the hawthorn. The hawthorn is just purely nourishing, and it really nourishes the strongest possible heart. And the motherwort is quite nourishing too, but it's also tonifying. So it's going to come in, it's going to work a little faster, it's going to work a little bit stronger. If the edema, the swelling, becomes more severe, you might want to consider poke root tincture, P-O-K-E, like poke you with the stick. Ouch, don't do that. Poke root tincture must be made from the fresh poke root. It has no effectiveness if it is not made from the fresh poke root. And it is taken in tiny doses, like one drop at a time. Not a dropper full, one drop, 1/25th of a dropper full. It has such a powerful ability to remove excess fluid that it's even used by women who've had their lymph glands removed during breast surgery and who have lymphedema, which is causing, can sometimes cause quite severe and enormous swelling of the arm. So I know I've given you a lot of information, and I trust that it's not too confusing, that you have some things that are simple and safe that you can start with, and some things that work perhaps a little harder or a little more quickly if you feel that you need them. Green blessings.
All right. We'll go to the next question. Hi, Susan. I've been a big follower of you for a long time, and your Herbal for the Childbearing Year is something I refer to every day. I am a midwife and now pregnant lady in her 37th week. I had a question about use of evening primrose oil in the late third trimester. In the medical literature, there isn't much information, and much of it is discouraging and associated with negative outcomes. So many midwives I work with and my own midwife encourage its use. Do you have any recommendations about it? Thank you with deep respect.
Let me define pregnancy as a normal and healthy state for a woman. I am not saying that every woman should be pregnant all the time. I'm simply saying that a woman who is pregnant is not sick, is not suffering from any disease, and does not need any kind of treatment. What is the difference between a midwife telling you to take evening primrose oil and an MD telling a woman to take DES? None. There's no difference. In both cases, a healthy pregnant woman is being told that she is wrong and her body is wrong and that you have to take some manufactured substance in order to carry a baby to term and give birth to it. You know, and I know, that that's not true. Of course we know things can go wrong during pregnancy, and of course we know things can go wrong during birth. That's certainly true. But that doesn't make pregnancy or birth a disease state or a high-risk state for any woman. There are times and women and places and situations where we need to take more care. But pre-drugging a woman isn't taking more care. And it's not taking care of the woman. It's taking care of the birth attendant. I do not advise anyone to use anything in the last trimester for the reason of making their births easier for their birth attendant. Continue to drink your nourishing herbal infusions. I drink nourishing herbal infusions. I'm almost 70 years old. I'm certainly not going to be pregnant. I'm not telling you to do something that you need to do because you're pregnant. I'm telling you, just as I tell everyone else, drink your nourishing herbal infusions. You and your baby will be glad you did. Dream blessings.
All right, and here's a question about nourishing herbal infusions. Hello, I've been making an infusion with many of the herbs listed in the pregnancy year. Nettle, raspberry leaf, alfalfa, oat straw, red clover, dandelion root. However, I recently read that it's bad to mix them because compounds in certain...
out and screaming! How come Susan is freaking out and screaming?
Because she's been mixing her herbs. That's what her question is. Is it true that it's bad for her to be mixing the herbs, and it makes her sad that she's been wasting herbs for years and not likely absorbing any of the nutrients? Thank you and regards.
If I were to combine one kernel of corn and one pea and one slice of carrot and one slice of beet and a half a cup of rice and one piece of parsnip and one sprig of parsley and eat that, I would not be throwing away the nutrition. I would not be getting as much as I could, but I certainly wouldn't be throwing it away. What I want, and perhaps you don't, is intimacy. And intimacy comes from one on one. If someone were to tell you that one of the herbs that you've been drinking has some bad effect on you, you might get frightened of all of them. What a shame. What a pity. Because you haven't developed an intimate, personal, one-on-one relationship with the plants. It's not the nutrition you're throwing away. It's the opportunity to be intimate that you're throwing away. It's not the herbs you're wasting. It's your capacity to interact with the plants that you're throwing away. Please, make one herb at a time. Weigh out 1 ounce of the herb. Put it in a quart jar. Fill the jar to the top with boiling water. Put a lid on it. Let it sit for 4 hours or overnight. Strain it. Squeeze the herb. Refrigerate the liquid and drink that. If you're using linden flower, use only half an ounce. Could you go over the herbs again slowly that she's been using? I think the first one was nettle and the second one was raspberry.
Yes, and alfalfa.
1 ounce of raspberry, 1 ounce of nettle leaf in a quart jar, that would be Monday. 1 ounce of raspberry leaf in a quart jar, that would be Tuesday. Continue.
Alfalfa.
I personally would not ever use alfalfa. If you wish to, 1 ounce in a quart jar, but I wouldn't recommend it. Okay?
Oat straw.
1 ounce
clover,
of oat straw in a quart jar. 1 ounce of red clover in a quart jar. So oat straw is Wednesday, red clover is Thursday.
And dandelion root.
And dandelion root. And dandelion root is a little pushy for an everyday herb. Not the kind of thing that I would want to take on a daily basis, but if you want to take some dandelion, if you feel that you need it for any reason, I would use 1 ounce in a pint jar, and I would let that steep for a minimum of 8 hours. I am also guessing, and it is simply a guess, I can be totally wrong, I am guessing that by mixing all of these herbs together, you are not using a full ounce of the mix in a quart of water. And that when you are making it, that you are unlikely to be letting it steep for long enough to get the best of the nourishment out of it. So if we're not steeping the herbs for a minimum of 4 hours, with the dandelion root 8 hours, then what's happening, and I do hope that you never throw your herb out. I've certainly never encouraged anyone to throw their herb out. I have encouraged you as well as them to always scatter the herb on the earth or put it in your compost pile, because then you are feeding the microorganisms of the earth. And so, once again, there is no waste. There is nothing that has gone to waste. You haven't gotten the nutrition, but the earth has gotten the nutrition, and isn't that glorious? I am a simpler. I use one herb at a time. I know many people combine lots and lots of herbs, but check it out. Usually they're making teas. And the fact of the matter is, most of the time when I'm drinking a tea, I have no idea what the individual herbs in that tea are doing or saying. It's rather like being at a party. If I just stand in the middle of the party, it's hubble, bubble, hubble, bubble. If I really want to have a good time, I'm going to seek out one person and spend some time with them, and then move on to another person and spend some time with them. Try it. You'll like it. Green blessings.
All right. We have another caller in queue.
Okay.
In the 603 area code.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello. Hello.
Hi. Thank you. Susan, thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question, Susan, on trying to get the motherwort tincture for anxiety. Locally, I have tried to get it at a store called Medicine Shop. Upon calling the store and talking to the owner and inquiring about the motherwort tincture that he carries, he assured me, when he was looking at the catalog that the supplier provided him, that the motherwort tincture he carries is made from fresh motherwort. So, as I said, he read it from the catalog. So, I did order it over the phone and asked him to call me when it came in. Before driving to pick it up, I did call him and asked him to read to me what it said on the bottle. And he said it did not say anywhere that it was made from fresh motherwort. So what we did is we hung up, and he said he would call the supplier from whom he gets the tincture. He called me back, and he said he had spoken to the scientist there who makes the tincture, and he said that the scientist told him that the original infusion was made with fresh material, but then a dried infusion was added to that to make it more potent. So I went, to myself. So please correct me, Susan, if I'm wrong, but I remember you saying that fresh is best. So if I want the most effective motherwort tincture, should I pass on this local source and proceed to look elsewhere, like online?
Red Moon Herbs or Catskill Mountain Herbs both produce motherwort tincture from fresh plant material exclusively. Would you like their names again?
Red Moon Herbs
and Catskill Mountain Herbs.
So did I hear you correctly? was he incorrect in telling me that it's going to make it more potent if dried is added to it?
I don't want to get into a fight with him.
Oh, no, no. Not at all. I wouldn't do that.
Necessary for us to get into a fight? You know exactly what I have said. Fresh motherwort is what you want in the tincture. I've given you two places to get it. Is there anything else I can do?
I guess just if you could just please review the dosage that you would recommend for anxiety.
It may seem quibbling to you, but I actually don't recommend motherwort for anxiety. I recommend it for people who are experiencing anxiety.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. To me, it really is different. You know, they made a wonderful movie about my dear buddy Patch Adams, and there was a great scene in this movie where we see a woman in a gurney in a hospital, and she's not in a room. She's kind of laying alongside the wall, and the lead doctor is taking the interns on rounds. And so as they go, you know, down the hall, he stops by this woman, and our camera angle, the physician who's leading the rounds is standing by her head, so the camera is looking at him talking, we're also looking at her face, but he is not looking at her. And then when the camera turns the other way, we see her feet and all the interns. And he begins to talk about her feet, but not about her. He talks about this diabetic foot and what they're going to do to this diabetic foot, and how if that doesn't work, they'll do this, and if that doesn't work, they will amputate it. And with every increase of what he's saying, you see the woman's face, when you see her face, becoming more and more and more horrified.
Oh.
At the end, the doctor says the words that every teacher knows will strike silence in the heart of the students, and that is, are there any questions? And our hero, Patch Adams, looks right at the woman, right in her eyes, and says, what's your name? I think it's what most of us feel is most missing from modern medicine is the person.
Mm-hmm.
The motherwort is for you. It's not for your anxiety.
Okay.
And I'm concerned that you're making yourself more anxious about it. And that's why I don't want to get in a blow-by-blow with this other person. Order fresh motherwort tincture from Red Moon Herbs or Catskill Mountain Herbs.
Yes.
There will be directions on the bottle.
Okay.
The doses of any herb can vary enormously. We have working as herbalists right now people who train in England where they are taught that the starting dose for any tincture is 1 teaspoonful. At the same time, we have working right now herbalists like Matthew Wood who would never use more than 3 drops of any 1 tincture. Herbs are not drugs. The difference between taking 2 aspirin and 20 aspirin is your life. The difference between taking 2 drops of motherwort tincture and 20 drops of motherwort tincture is insignificant. I prefer to do what some people call the physiologic dose, and that is that you start off taking a small amount. You start off taking 5 drops. And after 5 or 10 minutes, if that hasn't done what you wanted to do, you take another 5 drops. And keep on repeating by 5 drops at a time every 5 or 10 minutes until you feel it's done what you wanted it to do, and you make a little check mark or whatever you want each time you take 5 drops. And at the end, when you say, hey, that's right where I want to be, you can count those. Oh, I took 25 drops. Oh, I took 10 drops. Oh, and then that's your starting dose the next time. Or you can do what it probably says on the bottle, which is take a dropper full. Because I'm a rather conservative person. In other words, I like to use as little as something of something as I can, conversant with getting the use I want out of it. I tend not to start at a dropper full, but it's not a problem if that's where you want to start.
Yeah, and also money is a concern. Why waste it if you don't need more?
Exactly.
Yes, thank you so much, Susan, for your help.
You are welcome. Be easy. Green blessings.
Green blessings. Thank you. Bye.
All right, we have another caller waiting.
All righty.
In the 516 area code.
Yes, good evening, Susan. This is Joyce.
Good evening.
Hi, I'd like to really thank you so much for the empowering, educational, enlightening, and calming workshop last Friday. There is an old woman I am beginning to know. And,
I'm so glad you were able to join us at Mirabai in Woodstock.
Thank you.
What a delightful head.
So wonderful. I have to tell you, I went after to the wonderful health food store, Sunflower, picked up a bunch of things that you recommended, and thought I took wonderful notes to try to read them after. But I must tell you, I walked into the chemo suite on Monday, and I was light and airy, and it was my second treatment, and what a difference with taking in the attitude and the love and everything that came from you there on it was just on Monday, this past Monday, yesterday actually. So thank you for that, but I do have a few questions if it would be okay.
Sure.
Okay. I did the milk thistle seed tincture before chemo. Do I continue with that now?
It is hepatoprotective.
Okay.
It protects the liver against
okay.
what's coming in.
Okay. 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 And following chemo, I take the lindenflower. Is that also on an ongoing?
Nourishing herbal infusions can be a regular part of anyone's diet.
Great.
Lindenflower is wonderful anti-inflammatory, and I make sure that I drink between 4 and 6 quarts of lindenflower infusion on a monthly basis. You may wish to drink more, or you may find that a small amount is all that you want or can tolerate. It's a soothing, cooling, anti-inflammatory, and many times chemotherapy heats up the body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And causes inflammation. And the linden is one of my favorite anti-inflammatories.
Okay. Now, with that one, because from what I'm hearing, I may be wrong, that you rotate on given days different would I be rotating that, say, with the red clover?
You certainly can. That is how I do it. I was more to the point for the woman who was using all of the herbs, hoping to show her that she could still get all of those herbs in on a weekly basis.
Okay.
In other
okay.
words, I wasn't saying you can use only one herb, because sometimes when people hear me say I'm simpler, I use one herb at a time, they think, okay, well, then I can only drink nettle.
Okay, I didn't know.
And I wanted to distinguish that one herb at a time means one herb at a time, not one herb for the rest of your life.
No, I didn't know if it was one herb a day, opposed to, say, combine, you know, doing one in the morning, one in the afternoon.
So you would make infusion and then drink a quart in the morning and then have another quart in the afternoon?
Could I do that?
The infusions do not last. Once you've made it,
okay.
you need to drink it.
I see. Okay.
It's not like you're going to make a bunch of them and have them in the refrigerator.
I see. That's what I did.
You make
okay.
it, you drink it. Okay?
I understand now. Okay. With the oat straw and the comfrey, So that I would have to rotate on other days too then, I would imagine, unless I have it in the evening, the oat straw, to calm me so I can get some sleep.
Oat straw is a long-term calmative. It's not specifically a soporific. In other words, having oat straw in the evening will not make you go to sleep.
I see.
Having oat straw is one of the nourishing herbal infusions that you rotate through. It will strengthen your nervous system and make your sleep more sound.
Okay. Thank you. And I'm sorry, also for the nausea, I heard you speak to the ginger. But right now,
yes,
I'm so raw from the reflux that the ginger would be difficult.
Slippery elm.
Ah, you did mention that on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are YouTubes of me making slippery elm balls and a wonderful YouTube of my granddaughter, Monica Jean, making slippery elm balls.
Okay, great.
Which she insisted that we make a YouTube of her doing it by herself.
Okay.
So we can literally say this is easy enough for a 5-year-old to do.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. And I did meet with the doctor yesterday, and very honestly, I mean, I have endometrial cancer, which is a rare form of endometrial, that they said the chance of it coming back is high, but I did not know that they did a CA-125, and he told me initially it was 500, and it went down after the first chemo to 250.
All right.
So, I am so happy that I listened to you.
With the good work you're doing, you're going to get that down very low.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope you feel how light my heart is now after Friday. Thank you so much,
Susan. I certainly do. I am so thrilled that you are taking this ball and running with it.
Thank you. It's with your help and with your love. Thank you.
All righty then. Dreams blessing.
Okay. Good evening.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go back to some email questions.
Okie doke.
I have recently discovered your work via the internet and am so impressed by your knowledge and balanced approach to the use and preparation of herbal remedies. In the varied material I was reading through yesterday, I found mention of caution in ingesting cabbage and the like when raw or slightly cooked. It was to be avoided if there were issues with hypothyroidism. I was wondering if you could clarify this with me. Does this mean I should not ingest it at all or just cook it well? Thank you.
The compounds that cause difficulty with the thyroid are destroyed by cooking. Green blessing.
All right.
I was actually reading an article by an MD who was, I believe, sounding the alarm and would like to ban raw broccoli and raw cauliflower from tables across America. Because the person writing this article really felt that they were to blame for the huge numbers of cases of thyroid problems that they were seeing. I'm not sure that everyone would agree with that idea. I know that Ryan Drum believes that a lot of the large increase in thyroid problems has to do with the fact that we allow nuclear power plants to let off radioactive iodine. And he says it competes with non-radioactive iodine in the body and wins and is very disturbing to the thyroid.
All right, let's go to another email question. Dear Susan, I'm writing you because I went to your website but didn't find an answer to my question there. I'll get right to it. I've noticed over the past year or so when I have a hot flash, which is almost every day, at least one, it produces a funky smell in my clitoral folds. I'm 55. I've been going through menopause for the past couple of years. The smell is not in my vagina. And if I don't flash, then I smell normal. I can't seem to find any info anywhere about this, and actually have been brewing tea with fenugreek, thanks to your advice, over the past year or so. So that hasn't helped with this particular aspect. Right now, I'm not in a relationship, but I am hoping to be in one soon and really don't want this to be an issue then. Thank you so much in advance. I feel like I am consulting with a wise older sister here. Peace.
I'm wondering if the fenugreek is causing that funky smell. At drugstores, witch hazel is sold. And regular distilled witch hazel, plain distilled witch hazel. And witch hazel used as a moist wipe on the area at the time when you notice the odor will completely remove the odor. I used to have a wonderful relationship with a woman who smoked cigarettes, and although I actually truly don't mind the smell of cigarettes, since my mom smoked cigarettes, it's kind of the smell of love for me. She felt that it was very offensive to have the smell of cigarette about her, and she always carried a little bottle of witch hazel tincture with her. And after she had smoked a cigarette, she would put a little of the witch hazel tincture in her mouth and swish it around and spit it out, and then she would put a little on her hands and rub it on her hands so that her hands wouldn't smell of tobacco, and then run her hands through her hair to remove the smell of tobacco from her hair. Witch hazel is one of the most powerful odor eliminators known, and it works really, really well applied externally. So you can do that for yourself or for that sweetheart who's coming in the future. Give it a try without the fenugreek and see if that helps. And, of course, parsley is well known to be able to change the body odors. So eating more parsley, having some parsley, even dry parsley, in your soup, those things might be very useful. If you find the parsley useful but not quite useful enough, I think that parsley pills are sold, and you might want to consider that, although I don't usually use herbs in pills or capsules. In this case, since you want to get a huge amount of parsley down, it might be the way to go unless you find the other things are effective for you. We are capable of smelling a huge number of odors. We have, for many, many years, well, for my entire lifetime, we've been told that human beings are very poor at smelling. And some recent scientific research has really trashed that idea and says that, no, in fact, human beings can smell millions of different odors and differentiate between odors that are very, very similar. And so hormones, of course, are odoriferous compounds. And they are supposed to be because they signal to other human beings, watch out, I'm angry, wow, I'm in love, hi, I'm feeling happy today. We are picking up cues all the time from hormones. And one of the things that often happens to women as they are moving through menopause is that their sense of smell is heightened and made more acute. So it is also quite possible that your hormonal state changes when you have a hot flash, and that you are actually picking up on the smell of that. I don't think that there's anything wrong. I don't think that there's anything bad. And you didn't describe the smell as being bad. You described it as being kind of funky. And I think of funky as being hormonal. And you know what? Maybe that lover you're envisioning is really going to like that smell. Remember, famously, Napoleon wrote home to Josephine and said, I'll be there in 2 months. Don't bathe. Green blessings.
All right. We have another caller waiting on the line.
Okay.
In the 404 area code.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a question about vision.
About what?
About vision.
Okay.
And so, well, I had read about tooth decay being possibly reversed, and I was wondering if it's possible to reverse vision problems. I've had glasses and contacts for most of my life, and I'm just wondering if there's any way to strengthen sight it's kind of gone downhill.
And you started this to say that you were reading about reversing tooth decay?
Oh, no, well, that's what inspired me to kind of wonder if there's a way to reverse.
Okay, and was this in a book with information about perpetual motion machines?
No.
Unicorns?
No.
Dragons.
So wait, it's not possible to reverse tooth decay?
No.
Oh. Okay. I'm in a group of kind of holistic-minded moms, and it's kind of their thing, reversing tooth problems. You haven't heard of it?
I have heard of unicorns and reversing tooth decay and anti-aging and dragons and the Flat Earth Society and a great number of other things that I must admit I put in the aren't human beings imaginative box.
Oh. Okay. So remineralization and all that isn't very helpful in... Sorry, I'm having a hard time grasping.
When has wishful thinking been the way we get anything done?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that case, it sounds like there's probably no way to improve my vision.
Well, now, vision is an interesting word, isn't it? Because it means what we see, but it also means to have visions, doesn't it?
It does.
And we often find that as people's vision deteriorates, their visioning improves.
Hmm.
So perhaps you're looking in the wrong place for your vision.
Okay. Well, I'll have to think about that.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thank you.
Yeah. You are welcome. And, you know, there's all kinds of... I spent a couple of years doing vision improvement exercises, and basically what they did for me was show me that I didn't need to wear my glasses all of the time and that I was really just fine using them for certain limited activities, that if I didn't use my glasses, I was going to squint and I was going to give myself a headache, like being at the computer or watching movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer to drive with my glasses on because I feel more confident and more in control.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just certain times when I say, I'm so glad I have my glasses. And then for the rest of the time, I don't use them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things for me was it caused me to get a lot closer to the plants.
Really?
Sure. Now I have to kneel down and get my eyes real close to them to see them.
Oh. Okay.
I'm quite nearsighted instead of having glasses that allow me to stand far away from things and know what they are. I have to get close to them to see them.
I'm nearsighted as well.
This really improves my life.
Oh. I like that perspective. I think I've made mine worse because I used to be able to just not have anything and be able to read a book, and although I can still do that, I have to hold the book a lot closer now.
Most people as they age have to hold the book further away.
Mm.
Most people as they age get glasses because, as they say, they run out of arm.
Okay. Lovely. Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome, Green Blessings.
Green Blessings.
All right, we're going to go back to an email question.
Well, in an ordinary universe, we would be getting ready for somebody we were going to interview, but that is not going to be happening tonight. We send our good thoughts and our wishes to the woman that we were going to interview who is not able to be with us. Something came up in her life, so we're going to be doing a few more questions here tonight.
Sounds good. And we have plenty of them to fill the time, so here we go.
Okay.
Hello. Do you have any recommendations for keeping the immune system healthy and regaining energy after using antibiotics for Lyme disease?
I may be like possibly the only person in the world who thinks this, but I don't think that antibiotics injure the immune system. I think antibiotics help the immune system. I mean, what are we talking about here? We're talking about an infection your immune system couldn't cope with, and so you went for help. You didn't go to get something to injure your immune system, and so I don't see antibiotics as injuring the immune system. But again, as I said, I may be the only person in the world who thinks that way. The current medical opinion is that when you take antibiotics, it is best if you will eat yogurt at the same time. I hope you did. Whether you did or not, I hope you were still eating yogurt. And certainly if you didn't, all the more reason to become a big fan of yogurt now. Yogurt is possibly one of the best ways to improve the functioning of the immune system, especially for women. We find that women who eat as little as a quart of yogurt a week, wow, that's only half a cup a day, and that they have one-third of the bladder infections of women who eat no yogurt and one-quarter of the vaginal infections of women who eat no yogurt. That's a really substantial assist to the immune system there, isn't it? Wow. Not only that, yogurt, especially plain, full-fat yogurt, really feeds gut bacteria and gut flora. And, you know, one of the things I'd like to see is I'd like to see people not so much thinking about antibiotics, but thinking about gut flora. Because the more and more we find out about gut flora, the more and more we realize that gut flora really predicates just about all aspects of our health. So there we are again, back to the yogurt. And, of course, one of the best things for the immune system is to eat your food well cooked. The immune system has a difficult time with raw food and does not look kindly upon people who feed it raw food. So I often suggest, especially, as you say, after a round of antibiotics and for something as severe and serious as Lyme disease, that it's quite important to eat little or no raw food and make sure that your food is indeed well cooked for the health and well-being of your immune system. There are herbs that herbalists call adaptogens, and adaptogens help us to adapt to a wide variety of stressors. I really like that idea. I really like the idea that what we want to do is to adapt, not to repel the stress, not to make the stress strong, bad for us, but to make ourselves strong so that we can deal with the stress. And one of my favorite adaptogen herbs, you know what it is? Of course you know what it is. Stinging nettle. We love stinging nettle. We've been talking about stinging nettle a lot tonight, and that's partly because, wow, here comes the 1st of May, and the first part of May is definitely the merry, merry month of nettle. Green blessings.
All right. Next question from the email. Dear Susan, a few days ago I gathered coltsfoot flowers and stems and made a tincture. Then I read on a few websites that there could be a problem with the alkaloids in coltsfoot. Should I not use the tincture? I appreciate your weekly shows. Thank you.
Oh, I love questions like this because it lets me get a little, like, special teaching in as well. You know, there's herbal medicine and there's folklore. And both are really wonderful, and folklore can often kind of guide us in our exploration of herbal medicine, but nonetheless, they are different. Folklore says there are poisons in coltsfoot. Herbal medicine says the flower of the coltsfoot, harvested when it's blooming and prepared as a tincture and taken in small doses, is quite safe. Now, what's the difference there? We have established what part of the plant we're talking about. We have established when it is harvested. We have established when it's prepared, how it's prepared, and we've established the actual dose that we're using. Coltsfoot leaves do contain the alkaloid group pyrrolizidine alkaloids, also known as PAs. Pyrrolizidine alkaloids can cause hepatic swelling. That's swelling of the veins that leave the liver. We certainly don't have anywhere near the number of problems or deaths from people using coltsfoot as a percentage of the people using coltsfoot as we do of the people using aspirin therapy to help prevent heart attacks, in which we have actual deaths and some very major disasters and a far greater proportion of the population. Yet I doubt that you would be seriously concerned about keeping a bottle of aspirin in your medicine chest and taking two if you needed them. So in the same way, what you have done is perfectly safe. You're not going to be ingesting your coltsfoot flower tincture on a daily basis. You're going to be using it as a medicine occasionally when it is needed. And that would be very, very different than if you were, say, chopping up coltsfoot leaves and cooking them as part of your evening meal or making an infusion of coltsfoot leaf, neither of which I would advise. Coltsfoot is such a common plant and such a visible plant that it was one of the first plants that I experimented with. I remember the thrill of finding coltsfoot growing beside the road. I almost got down on the ground and kissed the coltsfoot. It was just such a, I had read about it, and there it was. Oh, my gosh, it was right there. And I worked, you know, with it and spent time with it all year and ate some of the flowers in my salads, and I was just so excited about the coltsfoot and then the leaves, and all the wild food books were saying, oh, the leaves are wonderful. They're just like lettuce, and I was eating them. And as I began to eat them, both the coltsfoot and my body said, no, 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 no. It doesn't matter what these books are saying, Susan. This is not a good food for you. And at the end of that year, I stopped eating coltsfoot leaves, and I have not eaten a single coltsfoot leaf since then. I still just find my heart smiling and leaping for joy when those beautiful golden coltsfoot flowers come along the roadsides in the spring. I don't stop the car anymore and throw myself down among them, but I certainly throw my heart out to them with great glee. But I don't eat coltsfoot leaves. Coltsfoot flower, that's a different story. Green blessings.
All right. Next question. Good morning, dear wise woman. I'd love to start my day with your peaceful teachings. This morning I was reading about soaking crone root vinegar. My small selection of good herb books only briefly touched on using this herb for menstruation and menopause, which I am in the phase of at the moment. Thank you, or could you possibly give me a bit more information on this herb and the uses, please? Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Oh, I'm so sorry that you couldn't come and share with us at the classes this weekend. We did spring tonics on Saturday, and we talked about using cronewort, Artemisia vulgaris, as a wonderful spring tonic. We talked about the fact that all of the Artemisias, which includes wormwood, Artemisia absinthum, tarragon, Artemisia dracuncula, the little dragon, and southernwood, Artemisia abrotanum, as well as many cultivated Artemisias, that all of the Artemisias are considered to be really wonderful divinatory plants, following along with the, talking about the visions with the other woman. One of the first things that I read about Artemisia vulgaris, also known as mugwort, was that it could cause vivid dreams. So I immediately harvested some, put it in my pillow, and wow, I had the most amazing dreams. And then I said to myself, excuse me, Susan, you have absolutely no idea if that plant had anything to do with it. I mean, you just told yourself you were going to have vivid dreams, and then you had vivid dreams. Well, gosh, maybe it had nothing to do with the cronewort, and it was just auto-suggestion there. So I got together with some friends. It was, around Mother's Day, and we made some dream pillows for our moms and sent them to our moms for Mother's Day. And all we said to our moms was, this is a little pillow that I made for you in herb class, and you put it in your big pillow and you sleep with it. That's all we said to them. Well, within the week, all of our moms had called telling us about these incredible dreams that they had. So that's one way that you can use cronewort, is to use it as a visioning tool. In fact, that's why I call it cronewort rather than mugwort, because the plant said to me when I said, hello, mugwort, she said, don't call me mugwort. I have nothing to do with the drunken fantasies of those who have their noses in mugs. Call me cronewort. I give you the true visions of wise old age. Cronewort is also a mild urinary tonic, a mild nervous system tonic, a mild cardiovascular tonic. Wow, what a wonderful plant for Crohn's. Green blessings.
All right, next question. Hi, I am a mother of six beautiful children. I turned 42, and that's when I started feeling pain, muscle, joints, jaw, neck, knees, and elbow. I cannot work because I cannot concentrate. I stumbled upon you somehow. I feel I know you. I went to see a doctor. He gave me vitamin B12 and prescribed me prednisone, tramadol, and amitriptyline. I do not like drugs, but needed something for pain and fatigue. When I began praying and meditating, I felt I needed to be drinking something because drugs do not agree with me. When I read about you, I immediately downloaded your free booklet and subscribed. I want to heal. I'm in pain, like there is something standing on my shoulders, not letting me live right. Please help. I started the teas, nettle leaf and comfrey. I ordered oat straw and red clover. I get them next week. I haven't worked in a month and am running low. What can you suggest I do? I will do it. Blessings to your wisdom, wise woman.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want to, Rebecca, but is there something that's coming to your mind when you hear these symptoms?
Yeah, I would say, like, osteoporosis type thing?
No, it starts with an L. Lyme disease.
Lyme disease,
though. The classic symptoms of Lyme disease that she's describing. Muscle pain, something sitting on her, mental fogginess. If someone were asked to write a description of how you would feel with Lyme disease, that's what they would write. And the workshops that I've been in, where I listen to people talk about Lyme disease, what I find is that people are frequently misdiagnosed when they have Lyme disease. So you might want to check out Stephen Booner's work, Healing Lyme. You might want to join the many, many discussions about Lyme disease that there are going on among many people, and listen to what others are saying about their diagnosis and misdiagnosis with Lyme disease. and decide for yourself whether or not you have Lyme disease. And you may or may not be able to find an MD who is willing to listen to what you're saying and willing to help you with it. It is far more complicated than anything I could do just in terms of answering an email here, but I can hopefully send you along this track. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, whether or not you have Lyme disease, you need to be drinking nourishing herbal infusions, not teas. Maybe that's what you mean, but a tea is a small amount of herb brewed for a short amount of time, and an infusion is a large amount of herb brewed for a long time. You need a scale. You need to weigh out 1 ounce of herb. It's not a volume measurement. It's a weight measurement. Scales can be very, very inexpensive. I just gave a graduating apprentice this morning a little scale that cost me $2, a little balance scale. You probably remember them from college. Tiny little scales. Works fine, weighs up to 4 ounces. I said, there you go. Now you have no excuse. Wherever you are in the world, you can weigh out your infusion herb. The herbs that you're talking about are fairly common herbs. They grow throughout the temperate regions of the world, including, of course, most of the United States. So if you find that, for instance, a nettle infusion is very helpful for you, then within the next month, you'll be able to start harvesting and drawing nettle and making your own infusion from your own nettle. This is where it's really important to weigh it out, because you will see that you won't be able to cut up your own nettle as finely as the nettle that you get from the store or from where you're ordering it from, and therefore the volume of 1 ounce of homegrown nettle is going to be much greater than the volume of 1 ounce of regular store nettle. As a matter of fact, even nettle that we have cut up here, the apprentices and I, fairly fine. A quarter pound of that takes up about the same volume as a 1 pound bag of nettle, which is cut and stiff, sifted on standard machinery. Our hands just do not cut it up anywhere near as small. So I hope that is helpful for you. And if not, please write again or call again. Green blessings.
Okay, next question. Hi, Susan. I love your videos. I'm new to herbal healing, and I will try nettle infusion and clover leaf infusion. I noticed my bladder is falling down, and I was wondering if any of the infusions will help fix the problem or anything else that might work. Thank you very much.
Not clover leaf. Clover blossom. Please. Do not get or consume clover leaf. I know there are people out there selling it. I don't know why they're selling it, but please, the fact that they're selling it doesn't mean you need to drink it. And if you already bought it, send it back. Because really, you don't want the leaf of the red clover. You want the blossom of the red clover. I know, the leaf is a lot less expensive. Well, that's why it's a lot less expensive. So I have my copy of Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way, in front of me. And the book starts with the pelvic floor. And the pelvic floor, of course, we come almost immediately into prolapses, pelvic organ prolapses. Page 6 is where we start, and we have a lot of information there. It says that bladder prolapse is usually due to a weak pelvic floor. But if you have had a hysterectomy, that may also weaken those structures and allow the bladder to fall backwards and down. Prolapse of the bladder can stretch the ureters and lead to kidney problems. Protect your kidneys by drinking nettle infusion. Engage the energy. Prolapse is associated with helplessness and despair, as in, I've got a sinking feeling. Perhaps you want to escape from difficulties by sinking out of sight. Instead, you could get in touch with your Earth Mother Bitch Goddess and affirm, I am rising up. A folk remedy from China calls for rubbing the very top of the head with a tiny bit of castor oil to counter the outflow of energy which is causing the prolapse. Energy is stored in the pelvis and organs. Prolapse when we use up our reserves and start to let go. Then there's some homeopathic remedies. Nourish and tonify a toned pelvic floor. The best way to tone your pelvic floor is exercise, exercise, exercise. One of my favorite herbs to nourish and tonify connective tissues is comfrey leaf infusion. The family physician by W. Beach says witch hazel, a strong decoction, can be used to tighten, tone, and pull up the pelvic organs. For strongest effect, sit in 2 quarts of witch hazel infusion. Do not drink it. Oak bark infusion can be substituted, as can be black tea or comfrey leaf. The prostate herb, saw palmetto, is a deep nourisher. A dose of 10 to 30 drops of tincture taken 1 to 3 times a day strengthens the pelvic floor, pulls prolapses up, and increases beneficial hormone responses, thus countering bladder prolapses. Tincture of black cohosh root, a dropperful a day for 3 months, is a superb tonic to tone weak pelvic floor muscles and counter all kinds of prolapses. Gravity, gravity, gravity. And gravity may be feeling like it's pulling your bladder out, but let's use gravity to return those organs to their intended places. And there's a whole long page about using gravity. And the little box Dr. Kegel says, and of course, this goes on and on for pages. We're still just at step 3, nourish and tonify, and there's more and more about pelvic floor clenches, and then stimulate, sedate, and we talk about pessaries and acupuncture and orgasm, and then drugs, and we talk about the fact that statin use weakens muscles. And someone says, I believe that taking statins is what caused my bladder to prolapse. Recently, statins have been shown to cause actual structural damage to muscles in some people. Matter of fact, I was just at a party 2 days ago, and I met a man, and one of the muscles in his arm completely separated right off the bone because he'd been taking statin drugs. And then break and enter, and some of the big problems with gynecological surgery. And one of the creators of pelvic floor surgery that are used on women who have bladder prolapses, Dr. Howard Kelly said, I do not believe that pleasure in the sexual act has any particular bearing on happiness in life, and I don't seek to preserve it in surgery. Not exactly the idea that you may or may not agree with. Help pelvic organ prolapse. We're on page 8 here. Expect results within 3 to 6 months. Commit yourself to at least one orgasm a day or 100 Kegels. Yes, you can alternate. 2. Experiment with saw palmetto or black cohosh tincture. 3. Do an inclined pose every day. 4. Do a sitz bath of oak bark, comfrey leaf, or witch hazel 3 to 6 times a week. And lastly, consider using a pessary or a sponge. That is a quick run-through on all the information there. You will want your own personal copy of Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way, so that you can refer to all of those things in great detail. Green blessings.
Great. All right, next question. Hi, Susan. I am a student midwife in Canada with an interest in herbs. I love your books and web posts and hope to take your courses in the near future. I get questions about a wide range of women's health concerns, and someone just asked me about black cohosh for menopause. I know in the medical media there is a fair bit about dangerous side effects, particularly liver and heart issues. My take on it is there are a number of other plants that may be safer and confer similar benefits. In the interest of informed choice, I have directed my friend to your materials on the subject, as well as the controversy on the medical pages. I was just wondering what your take on it is. And she has another question about, one more question for myself. Do you see any contradiction to taking motherwort and Ritalin? Both seem to keep me on an even keel with my homeschooling children. Thank you for your time.
I think it's absolutely fine to interface those two things together. We're coming toward the end of the show, and it's interesting because we have come full circle here. At the beginning of the show, I said that pregnancy and childbearing, giving birth, are not medical conditions, that they are normal, healthy conditions, and that no woman needs any remedies of any kind in order to have a healthy pregnancy and or a healthy birth. And here we are at the end of the show, and I get to say exactly the same thing about menopause. Menopause is a natural, normal, healthy state for women, and no woman of any kind needs any herbs or any medications of any kind to get through menopause. So my answer is not just don't take the black cohosh, don't take nothing, don't take anything for menopause. I often say to women, well, what did you take for puberty? Now, usually they laugh, and they get the point. You possibly have a copy of Menopausal Years, The Wise One Way, and if that's what you have, throw it away and run out and get new Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, which is the revised edition. Now, granted, it has been out for a very long time, but I still find that sometimes people just cling to the old edition that they have and don't want to give it up for the new one. In the new one, on page 151, we have black cohosh. All right, stately and striking perennial plant. And I'm quite concerned because I see it disappearing. And Native Americans have long considered it a wonderful ally. And I talk about the things that black cohosh can do. And let's get right to the point, which is very, very important. I suggest infusion of the dried root up to a teacup a day by the teaspoonful, or tincture of the fresh roots, 10 to 60 drops daily. And this is one of the big differences, because the material that you're reading about the problems with black cohosh has all been done with dried black cohosh taken in capsules. Let's go back to those 4 points that I made before. What part of the plant are we talking about? Are we talking about the fresh root or the dried root? When was it harvested? This makes an enormous difference. How is it prepared, and in what dose is it being taken? No woman needs black cohosh or any other herb to get through menopause. All women need to drink nourishing herbal infusions because it makes everything that goes on in their life happier and healthier. I hope this has been enough of an answer to get you to go get a copy of New Menopausal Years, or to refer to the one that you have, and also to note there that I don't recommend taking black cohosh, and that's because I'm worried about the large amount that's being harvested, and because women don't need to be treated for menopause. You know that. Green blessings.
All right, can we try one more question here?
I think we have time for about one more.
All right. This may be a little similar. Dear Susan Weed, I am facing some challenges in my life. I have reached menopause, and I'm worried. I have hot flashes, dryness in the vagina, and other symptoms causing me discomfort. I need your help and advice.
It's called New Menopausal Years, The Wise Woman Way, Alternative Approaches for Women 30 to 90. And it has everything you could possibly want to help you on your journey. Chapter 1, Is This Menopause? Preparing for Your Journey. Menstrual Irregularities, Building Better Bones, Weight Gain, PMS Forever, Ever, Fibromyalgia, Thyroid Problems, Fertility After 40, and Sex, as well as Herbal Allies for Women Beginning Menopause, and a Ritual Interlude. Chapter 2, This Is Menopause, Journey into Change. Flashes and flushes and chills. Oh my! Hairy problems. Emotional uproar. Sleep disturbance. Headache. Migraine. Heart palpitation for women who decided to take hormones. Progesterone cream preventing breast cancer. Male menopause. And herbal allies for women in the midst of menopause, as well as a ritual interlude. Chapter 3. Postmenopause. She who holds her wise blood inside. Vaginal and bladder changes. Dry vagina, healthy heart, memory loss, dementia and Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, my aching joints, herbal allies for postmenopausal women, and a ritual interlude, as well as herbal references and resources, and one of my favorite sections, a section that I refer to all of the time, and that is a great appendix on vitamins and minerals. I had such a good time making this, and as I say, I constantly refer to it. I go, you know, alphabetically, vitamin A, vitamin B complex, vitamin B1, vitamin B2, right through the whole thing, and then essential fatty acids, and then right on into the minerals, boron, calcium, chromium, copper, iodine, and so on. And I get to tell you a little bit about what kind of things that particular vitamin or mineral does in the body. And then I get to tell you what it's depleted by, what the food sources are, and what the very best herbal sources of all of those things are. And if that wasn't enough, it is followed by a second appendix, which is recipes and the herbal pharmacy, and lots of fun things like Old Sourpuss mineral mix, strong bone stew, and my favorite recipe for an easy, easy way to make homemade yogurt. So there it is, new menopausal years, the wise woman way.
And Susan, since we're here,
approaches
we have
women 30 to 90.
We do have one more question about the new menopausal years. And she asked,
okay,
what's the difference between the first edition and the revised one? And she doesn't have the money to buy the revised edition, and she would just like to know if it's important for her to get it.
It's completely different. Totally. I had a student who said, well, she didn't feel that she had the money to buy it, and so she took her menopausal years to the library and sat there with new menopausal years, figuring she'd just copy into her book the changes. An hour later, she was on page 2. It's really quite different. Get your library to get it and borrow it from your library. Green blessings. Hey, Rebecca, here we are at the very end of the show. Thank you. I so appreciate you. And thanks, Justine. Thanks to the whole wise woman for helping me to reweave the healing cloak of the ancients. Each one of us is a precious thread in this cloak. Together, we will return herbal medicine to its rightful place as people's medicine. Green blessings, everybody. Till next week. Bye-bye, Rebecca.
Good night. Thank you.